Time for the Global Threat Report, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Global Threat Solutions, the 100% military veteran-owned security and investigations firm. Global headquarters right here on Long Island in Suffolk County. They have offices as well in the city, Miami, L.A., overseas, Frankfurt, Mumbai. The Global Threat Solutions CEO, Kim Bombase, the captain, 21 years of law enforcement intelligence experience, certainly has done his part as far as serving as a military intelligence officer in the Middle East. His company just offers so much. Just go to the website. We'll go over everything with that. GlobalThreatSolutions.com. You make a phone call, 646-946-6649. The aforementioned captain. Sir, how are you?
Doing good this morning, Jay. Lots to talk about.
Man, let me start off locally here with the county and the cyber attack and the breach of data, Captain. And, you know, you kind of wonder, with a county this size and everything else, could there have been anything done to have halted this attack? Now, listen, you know, we talk all the time about cybersecurity and everything else. You're an expert in this field. Could anything have been done to prevent such an apparent breach here?
Listen, I mean, there could have always been something done. I mean, is it easier to hack into the Suffolk County network and their system than the CIA? Yes, but it's, you know, within reason, what will organizations have in place to protect themselves? I think Suffolk County just learned a valuable lesson, and they're going to be investing more in that for sure. I think they're bringing in some outside consultants for this. They're going to have to step up their game. So, I mean, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, Jay, but I think that same attack could have happened to so many municipalities across this country right now. Suffolk County just happens to be the one on the paper right now.
Let's get into a couple of things. I guess we'll start with the border. You know, 2.2 million encounters, Cap. 93 terrorists who are fugitives apprehended. 93. 70, I think it's 78 so far this year. Okay. It's alarming. And you look at what's going on here. You look at the amount of drugs that are coming into this country as far as the fentanyl and the overdose deaths. You know, we look at the transportation of migrants in and around this country, the latest Martha's Vineyard. You look at the gotaways, so to speak, which is over 900,000 at this point from last year into this year. You know, not enough is emphasized on the deaths of some of these individuals as they attempt to cross over. You know, you ask yourself, what's the end game here? You know, but the fact of the matter is that you have approximately 29,000 agents, and it's almost impossible to somehow keep track and everything else as far as what's happening down at the border. And you wonder, where are we at with everything?
So, you know, let's go over the numbers, Jay. The border right now is actually a critical issue in America. So, the number one cause of death right now in America for people between the ages 18 and 45 is fentanyl overdose. That's a crazy number. The number one death for that age bracket is fentanyl. And we all know where it's coming. It's coming across the border. And one step further, it's not just coming over the border. A lot of it's coming from our enemies, including China. So it's something that we need to really be putting a lot of effort into right now, and we're simply not. We're trying to react. Like you mentioned, you know, we had over 2 million migrant encounters in 2022, over 900,000 known gotaways in fiscal year 21 and 22. Jay, that's more than San Francisco. That's more than the population of San Francisco of gotaways. We have those are the people we have no records on right now. Just in August, this August, we had 12 known terrorists apprehended at the border. 12 terrorists. Now, think about how many we missed. That's the scary part of that statistic right there. We have 750 people have died crossing the southern border this year. That's more than two per day. And that comes from DHS, that stat. How about this? In Biden's 2 years in office, 4 million people will have crossed the border. I think this stat is projecting, say, till December. That's six times the population of Washington, D.C. These numbers are they're demographic altering numbers that we're looking at right now. I mean, to look at this and think that and have people say, like the vice president made this statement, that we have a secure border. I think the days are past where they could even put that lie forward and state that to the American people. Everybody knows there's a crisis at the border. It's just what we're going to do about it. To say there isn't one is crazy. It's insane right now. That's probably the greatest in the top three. That's what's so scary right now at these times in America. Probably the top three greatest threats. Obviously, Russia right now. We'll get to that. But they're obviously a significant threat. China's probably our greatest threat. And this border. This continues to be a tremendous threat to the American people for all the reasons I just mentioned. You know, it's not just bringing in people from communist countries like President Biden wants to say, we have to let them in, they're fleeing communism. It's not that. First of all, the majority of them are not coming from communist countries. And it's all the, it, at what cost? Look at all these other issues that we have right now with the fentanyl, terrorism, criminals coming across the border. Just complete, like the gotaways is a scary number. We don't know who these people are. We don't know who they are or where they went. That's scary. And then, of course, we could go into the other issues we have with the busing to other states in the country, which is there's a lot of hypocrisy involved with that, too. There, obviously, that is something that the Republicans are doing right now and Governor DeSantis to get attention to this issue. But this issue needs attention. And by the way, those people, as we all know, they've been flown the very same way to those cities by President Biden. And there was really no criticism of that when that happened. So this is what we're looking at right now. It's a massive issue, and I think it's going to have it's going to play a big role in the midterms.
Some nonsensical answer yesterday at a press conference the other day when, you know, somebody asked him about the border and he named three new countries of concentration, including Venezuela. I mean, it didn't answer the question. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. And, you know, you watch this guy during a 60 Minutes interview, by the way, you know, and, you know, he was a little more candid than usual, but I guess that's the case when you don't have the cue cards in front of you, you know. Listen, we're never going to get the right answer to this. It is a front and center issue by the day. By the day. Okay, and I told you, terrorist screening database and count is 78, folks. 78. That is alarming so far, and we're not even done with the year yet. 78, as compared to 15 last year. 15. Unbelievable. Captain Bob Bass, the Global Threat Solution Report. Let's go to Ukraine. Devastating. It's alarming stuff going over there. And Putin said he's not bluffing. Cap, he's not bluffing as far as the usage of nuclear weapons. So let me ask you right outright. I mean, is that a possibility? I mean, do you think this guy would actually go the nuclear weaponry route? Yes or no?
So here's what I'd say. It's not an easy. I'd say we have to consider that as a realistic possibility. It's a slim possibility. But one that right now there's people in the Pentagon preparing for right now because it is a real possibility. You know, we would have to think. I was just watching Congressman Zeldin speak, and he says, as part of this issue, we have to consider that Vladimir Putin is homicidal, not suicidal. Right? He knows that we too have nuclear weapons, but at the same time, we have Ukraine making great strides right now. They've launched a counteroffensive. They've taken back over 10% of the territory that Russia initially captured in this invasion. Russia has retreated. Now they're going to launch this referendum because they want to get certain parts of have Russian officials or at least Russian-backed officials in these regions of Ukraine have a referendum. So now that Putin could say, well, now they're attacking Russia, and he could escalate. So what does that mean, Jay? Does that mean it's going to be a scorched earth policy where he's going to attack civilian infrastructure, or does that mean he's going to go to that escalate to de-escalate policy that we've talked so much about and possibly use a low yield or a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine? It has to be considered. You cannot rule it out. I would not, in my experience, I would not rule it out as something that's unreasonable, that it could never happen. And that's a serious statement.
So, Don, the president also stated on that 60 Minutes interview with Scott Pelley, Cap, that if it came to it, the United States would undoubtedly aid Taiwan if China would invade them. And he said outright, yes, we will come to their aid. And, you know, that set off reverberations in and around the world, yeah. You know. So, you know, there's a lot going on here. It was Pakistan last week, the summit that Putin had with Xi. You know, a lot happening, and you've got to keep an eye on that stuff, too.
Yeah. I mean, they had that meeting in Uzbekistan, and one thing, that's another blow to Putin, is that India and China, two nations that were sort of at a minimum, were in the middle. They weren't taking sides and actually supporting Putin at some level. Now they've both said, we have real concerns about this war right now, and it doesn't look like China is going to be providing direct military assistance to Putin, and India also showed their concerns. Those are two big powerhouses, so that was a blow to him as well. But when you look at what go to the Taiwan issue, like you just mentioned right now, this is, you know, President Biden says, well, we're obligated. When they asked him, yes, we're going to use military force to assist Taiwan if this happens because we're obligated to do so. We're actually not, Jay. The only current agreement that exists right now says we would provide military assistance, sort of like we're doing right now in Ukraine. Doesn't mean we have to send troops there. I'm not saying I wouldn't support that, but it's I think, a little scary that the president's saying that, and it's actually not the case. The other side of this is, if we are going to do that, when are we going to get prepared to do that? I have real concerns about the capabilities of the U.S. military right now to actually be able to use military force successfully to support Taiwan if that were to happen. But when you look at these issues we're talking about right now, Jerry, looking at Vladimir Putin as we speak, making veiled nuclear threats again. He's about to, he just approved through the lower house of his parliament to immediately mobilize Russian citizens. This is an escalation in itself. If that referendum goes through and those are Russian territories, and he could say, well, now Ukraine's attacking Russia, he could go to a full mobilization, and this could really escalate this conflict where he'd have a lot more resources, meaning soldiers, to send down there. And then we always have the threat of a possible escalate to de-escalate policy. You look at that. You look at China and Taiwan. You look at all these threats we're facing right now, and you look at our border, and you think, how are we constantly consumed by domestic political nonsense? That's all you see on the news. That's all anybody talks about right now. We face the greatest threats we've ever faced as a nation, in my opinion. The greatest threats we've ever faced as a nation, and all we talk about all day is nonsense. We need to, you know, it's at a stage right now, Jay. We need to have the war machine started up. We need to have the war machine rolling right now and preparing for these things that not only can happen, are happening right now in real time. So I think that we need a wake-up call. You know, we're all focused on the midterms, which is important because I think we need some new leadership in Congress. And right now we have President Biden. I was in there yesterday because we have some protection operations going on for the UN General Assembly. He's going to speak there. This isn't a political statement, Jay, but, I mean, is he up to this right now? These are the greatest threats we've faced that I can remember in my life. And I'm just not entirely sure he's up to the challenge right now.
Listen, I have massive doubts, especially after that interview I saw in 60 Minutes, which, by the way, I understand he asked the question to Scott Pelley during commercial time. How long is the show? No, I'm only kidding. Listen, you get the point. You get the point of what I'm trying to tell you here. It is a problem. Listen, you wonder, and I spoke about this yesterday, Cap. That was courtesy of Tim Allen, folks. That was a great line. But, you know, the thing is... you wonder where Biden is at with everything, especially with what happened with Putin. And if you're in the same sentence, an adversary says in the same sentence regarding nuclear weapons, and that's alarming. How will the U.S. answer? And I spoke about Reagan. How would Reagan have answered this? And for that matter, Trump. The problem is, it comes down to leadership all the time. When you smell weakness, this is what goes on. I can't emphasize that enough. It's the same here in this country regarding crime in the streets and everything else. And when you have a very soft approach, this is what happens, folks. That's why you have escalations. It's the same thing from a global standpoint. Cap, it always comes down to leadership. Always.
Always comes down. And it's deterrence. We have no deterrent to crime in our country. We have no deterrent to these bad actors around the world. And they all saw that in Afghanistan. That was I think they were watching closely for the Biden administration to see how they were going to move forward. And when they saw that, it was, it was the green light to, hey, let's launch this operation in Ukraine, for China to move aggressively. A lot of people, a lot of analysts are saying now that it's a good chance before President Biden's term's over that China can move on Taiwan. You look at all of these issues, like I said, deterrence. It's peace through strength. We know this. This isn't something that we have to debate. Everybody knows that. That's been our model. Peace through strength right now, and weakness is provocative, and we're seeing the results of that right now. We need to come in for the big win. We need to get the war machine rolling, meaning we need to really start building our military. Forget about the money that we just spent on in this country in the last 2 years. What we could have done with our military is remarkable, and needed to have done with our military and our southern border. The resources that we could have put down there to secure our country. I mean, we just talked about it, Jay. How many terrorists do we have floating around right now? How many of them actually have plans to do something? If there's a terrorist attack here, a devastating terrorist attack, who's going to be held accountable? Are they going to determine, yes, in fact, they did come across the southern border? Who then will be accountable for that? I mean, right now, again, we're facing, and we always seem to be discussing, is political infighting, nonsense. Domestic, in this current day and age, political, everything domestic is almost nonsense. When you look at the threats we are facing right now, we need Democrats, Republicans to come together like we have before, like we did after 9/11. Come together and let's secure our country first before we put so much effort and time into nonsense and political infighting. That's what needs to happen right now. I'm not sure it will. I'm hoping we'll see a change in the midterms.
Go around the world, Cap. And I'm sure you are too. You have an earthquake in Taiwan. There's some footage that shows incredible damage to a collapsed bridge there. That could be an opportunity for China. Also, I'm watching something happening in Japan, a super typhoon. 9 million are told to evacuate there as this thing is slamming southern Japan, heading toward Tokyo. Plus, you got an earthquake, 6.5 magnitude. Affecting not only Japan, the Philippines, Taiwan, and China. You wonder if there are any advantages there as far as China to take part in. This is what you got to think about, folks, unfortunately. There's just so many events. The hurricane in Puerto Rico, the earthquake, Mexico, Taiwan, Japan, typhoon, Pakistani floods. My goodness. You got to keep an eye on all this stuff. Not only that, we have a digital currency race between the U.S., Russia, China, that could be a national security issue. How big is that going to be, you think?
Yeah, all these issues. How about inflation? Just inflation itself right now. You look at all the challenges we're facing right now. We need to really step forward. Our leadership at every level needs to step forward right now and put sound policies in place and be working together. This isn't a time for political infighting. We need everyone to be working together at some level, at least when it comes to national security. Can we at least agree on that, and move forward with that? Because that's the most – national security always has to be priority number one. Everything else is secondary, everything, because we're nothing without that. That's what gives us – that allows us to be the greatest democracy in the world. And we're simply not doing that right now, Jay. And I'm hoping that we'll see some changes come soon and in the midterms, which will, at least give us a balance there where we could have some debate. I don't think it's going to be a lopsided win. If Republicans take the Congress, I don't think it's going to be a massive win. And if they possibly take Senate, I think it'd be a slim majority. But at least we could have some open debate and be focusing on some of these critical issues that you're, me and you were just talking about right now, as far as Russia, China, the border, the drugs in this country, fentanyl. I mean, for that to be a leading cause of death, it's just something that has to be addressed right now. It's an imminent danger, and it seems like all of that is so secondary to what everybody focuses on in this country. And we can't take for granted that we're going to be the country we are forever unless we work hard to maintain that.
Have to. There's no, no other way, Captain Bombace. The Global Threat Report. One of the military veteran on security investigations firm. Global headquarters right here in the county of Suffolk. Also, you have the city, Miami, LA, Frankfurt, Mumbai. And the captain's company offers so many services, armed, unarmed security services, executive protection, close protection agents, bodyguards, in other words, folks, armed or unarmed residential security officers throughout the Hamptons, comprehensive event security services, including guards and event security managers, high-end retail security services as well. Background checks, too, very important. All that, go to the website, www.globalthreatsolutions.com. You can make a phone call. Any questions, please, 646-946-6649. Lots to keep an eye on, my friend. We will. I know you will. And we'll talk soon. How's that?